Okay. We are not having a class. Anuradha and me, we just 2 days ago, there's a famous painting from René Magritte, a French painter, from a pipe, a smoking pipe, and it's written, "Ceci n'est pas une pipe." This is not a pipe. So this is not a class. Because this is a worship. This is prayer. And this is a very different kind of approach. When we just sit in classes, or we are invited for very, very essential prayer time. And who is entering that space? This is a question always, even before chanting holy name, before doing anything. It's always, who is doing this? Is not the person who just runs around and feels, I have headache, feet ache, mind ache. It's a complete different being who is entering such a space. When Arjuna is asking, "Oh Krishna, what is the symptom?" If a person who is finally situated in the Atma, Krishna is saying, Prajahati yada kamam sarva parta manogatam. He lost faith in the movement of the mind. He's not believing in all the ideas that's coming. Can you imagine? This is the first answer Krishna is giving. How essential is it? This is like when you're a little more introvert, we don't believe in the weather situation, you know? Come on, it goes on. If it will be rain or sun, doesn't matter. But Krishna is saying, if a person is little absorbed, little, he's not speaking about bhakti, he's speaking about sthita, being little situated. He lost complete faith in the ideas that pop out in the mind due to previous samskaras. He is completely independent on the moods of a subtle body. And then Krishna is going on. He speaks nearly 20 verses. Each and every one is extremely important to therapy. Then he says, Dukhesha Anuvignamana, Sukhesha Vigatasvara. It may be that on the external level, there is the old system is experiencing the greatest joy, or the old system of identification is experiencing the biggest trauma or catastrophe. But he is not connected to that. He has something more precious to embrace. So this is the one who is listening. And at the end of Raslila, Shukadev Goswami is saying, we discuss here such an important thing. Anugrahaya Bhutana Manushan Dehamashrita. Radha and Krishna, they again and again they come to this in this world not as a maintenance work. Sometimes here in our ashram, a person is sometimes just 2 weeks away, and then some animals in wait the house of Shamsundari. And then, you know, one has to make order again. This is not the reason why Radha and Krishna appear in this world, to make order again. That not even Dharma Sangstapanartaya, not even to establish cosmic order. It's just that the souls in this world, they have the invitation for the most important thing they will do here in this world, to remember their activities. Then Shukadev Goswami is even saying, Yat Shrutra Tat Paro Bhavet, and just hearing and worshipping the Leela, their appearance, then they already live in Paro Bhavet. They don't live in this world anymore. So this is what they want to do. This is the biggest worship. Practically all prayers that people pray are somehow connected to this world, and that what we are not in this world. But just hearing Srinu Gaura Gadadara Charukatam, the very astonishing moments. They invite us there, and they invite us to remember that. And by that, living in the eternal world. One might ask, why is it worship? Why is Radha and Krishna, why is Gaura Gadadhar so extremely happy? And it's like the biggest worship we could do, to speak about their pastimes, and to speak about their own Leela, their own exchange in the spiritual world. The question we want to become pregnant with. So maybe you have later some answers, but we keep it, because it's a very important question. Many people think, you know, I can imagine when we build temples, or when we, I don't know, do something tangible, this can be service. But why is it the greatest seva for them when a soul is just absorbing themselves in their own leela, in their leela, in the spiritual world? This is I think this is even the entrance point to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but we are now not having a class, we're having a prayer session, and these are prayers that are finally not touching our conditioned being. They're touching the one who is really, really involved, this eternal Atma. It's a very different kind of prayer that we can have, a Gaura Gadadhar Saptaha, or just have some time absorbing. Thank you. This is just a little what we do here.
Hello, Pranam. Good morning. Welcome you all, and thank you, Shachand Prabhu, for the reminder of what we are doing here. As basic as that sounds, we all, every day we need to be reminded why I'm coming here, why I'm sitting here, not to take for granted Oh, it's a class again. Oh, yeah, it's another round of japa. It's another plate of prasad. Another gathering with the body. Yeah, I know what's that about. And we just reduce that and define it in the lowest common possible common denominator instead of the highest possible one. And so, yeah, we are here to offer. As the word says, right? Especially in Christian circles, they use this expression, we will attend service. So it's connected to our attention. So whatever we put our attention is like attending service, it's a form of worship. And when you say attend services, worship, adoration. So at the end of the day, our bhajan, our adoration is, I like more the word adoration than worship, because it's connected to something adorable. So every adoration is, yeah, we bring our attention to our adoration. So this is, even though we are not probably doing the external ritual and moving maybe a lamp or this or that, but if the attention is there, adoration is there. And if attention is not there, no matter how many plates and lamps and things you offer, your mind has gone shopping somewhere else, so to say, right? So yeah, Srinu Gaura Gadadharam Charu Kutam. We want to offer our attention. At the end of the day, is the only currency in the market we have available to offer. How we can offer ourselves. This, the feet of Sri Sri Gaura Gadadhar on this second day of our Saptaha, or 7 day immersion into the topics of Gaura Gadadhar. So for those who were not present yesterday, I'll share 2 minutes, a brief summary of yesterday's gathering, especially for those who were present as well. So yesterday we were trying to introduce us. Jagannidhi Prabhu gently let me know yesterday, the word introduction means to enter into something, right?
To lead someone into
To
something.
lead someone into something. So one says the introduction is never done with. You're always entering into something. And when you thought I'm entering into, there's a new door that opens and a new door that also. Yesterday was the introduction, leading each other into something, but every day will be an introduction forever. We're always led into something deeper. But yeah, somehow there was a warming up, and it will be an eternal warming up to something that is always becoming. The fire keeps expanding, so the warming up is never over. And we talk about Gaur Lila. We talked about the depth and breadth of Gaur Lila as in service of Gadadhar Pandit, of Gaur Gadadhar first, the connection between Krishna Lila and Gaur Lila, how Gaur Lila is not just the entry point, but also paradoxically is the entry point and the culmination of Krishna Lila. And again, one and the other are not different. Gaur Lila is the natural extension, the natural consequence of Krishna Lila. If we play out the implications of Krishna Lila, there has to be a Gaur Lila. That's the Gaudiya conviction. There cannot not be a Gaur Lila. There has to. As Srila Samarsh will say, it cannot but be. No, it cannot but. So we try to share a few words and share a few glimpses into the glory of Gaur Lila and the need for that arises at the zenith of Krishna Lila for Bhagavan Sri Krishna to explore the heart of Sri Radha, and how that creates the necessity of a Gaur Lila, which is an eternal necessity. There's no beginning in time. So our God is eternally curious about exploring the depths of love, the depths of heart. And then comes Gaur Lila, where Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself entering into the mode of Radha and trying to explore those unfathomable depths. So Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined in a dynamic way, but not in an absolute literal way. Still, Sri Radha remains in Gaur Lila's someone else, and that someone else is Srigadadhar Pandit. A very confidential, mysterious topic. Sri Radha herself, we say yesterday, she's the main figure throughout the Bhagavata, and many acharyas will say every verse speaking about her. But when you open the book and try to do a literal reading, her name is not mentioned even once. But the whole book is about her, who is not mentioned even once. So Parokshabad, the indirectness of the most confidential things that can only be expressed in a relishable, tasteful way in ways that they are crooked. Tribhanga. Krishna is Tribhanga. He's a crooked guy. He likes crookedness. Like they say, even when he was Yashoda was running after Krishna in the Damodar Lila, he wouldn't run in a straight line. He will just run in a crooked way. He does everything in a crooked way, because that's how love moves. Ahiri bhagati premna swabhava kuti labhavet. Prem moves like a snake. Not straight line. That's predictable. That's boring. But zigzag. So, but today we want to continue exploring this, especially concentrating. Today, I was thinking we can explore a little bit the life of Gadadhar Pandit, because at the same time, again, Sri Radha, this most confidential figure and goddess that the Bhagavatam is all about, but it's not ever mentioned directly. Gadadhar Pandit, being Radha herself in Gaur Lila, is even more, in one sense, secret, hidden, confidential. So, in many ways, Gadadhar Pandit is not. There's not much said about Gadadhar Pandit. I will think in, among the five members of the Panchatattva, the person that is spoken the least is Gadadhar Pandit. At the same time, Gadadhar Pandit is the most important figure in Gaur Lila. Without Gadadhar Pandit, there is no Gaur Lila. Gaur Lila is not successful. Krishna Lila is not successful. But it's the person that is spoken the least. So it's like, whoa, mysterious. What's there?
Amavasya.
Amavasya, I'm going there in a minute, yeah. Spoiler by Krishna Chandra. Even your mentioning of the painting about the pie was a trailer, and we will get there at the end of today's gathering while speaking about Gadadhar Pandit's meeting with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. There's a pipe in between. It's all indirect speech. You have to catch the hints. So today I like to speak a little bit about Gadadhar Pandit's life on earth, so to say, as much as there is a prospect of entering the eternal Lila, also the eternal Lila, eternity appears among us on earth. So Gadadhar Pandit is a historical figure, so to say. I mean, he appeared relatively in a time that can be registered chronologically, so it's not a creation, fictitious creation, mythological figure, but concrete entity descending on this plane, and it has been registered by different eyewitnesses. Just if you need that proof as well, we have that part. So I'd like today to concentrate a little bit on Gadadhar Pandit's life, first half of his life, mostly before he goes to Jagannath Puri with Mahaprabhu. Because Gadadhar Pandit was born basically at the same time that Mahaprabhu, and almost living at the same time that Mahaprabhu. Slightly, not the same day, but so they lived together basically their whole lives. So first half of life of Gadadhar Pandit in Navadvip will be perhaps first half of Mahaprabhu's life in Navadvip. Mahaprabhu moves to Puri. There goes Gadadhar. So I thought better we can start there before we go to explore tomorrow, day after tomorrow, the ontological position of Gadadhar Pandit, the service disposition of Gadadhar Pandit. Let's go through his life story. And of course, through his life story, we start to have trailers of what's the position of Gadadhar, what's his service disposition as well. So yeah, let's begin on an Amavasya day, like Krishna Chandra Prabhu mentioned, which in itself it already speaks about the service disposition of who Gadadhar Pandit is. So Gadadhar Pandit was born in one village called Beleti, which is in a place called Chittagong, nowadays Bangladesh, on a day of Amavasya. Old Samabassi. New moon, which in one sense is no moon. I mean, moon is there, but it's hidden. Again, going back to hiddenness. Rahasyetva. So the moon never disappears, never stops existing, but it's out of sight. There's no moon. So Srila Siddha Maharaj will make this poetic analogy, right? He will say Krishna is born on which day? Ashtami, which is half moon. Oh, yeah, speaking in moon terms. Sri Radha is born on Ashtami also, no? Janmashtami, Radha Ashtami. So half moon, half moon. Mahaprabhu is born on full moon, which means Radha and Krishna, half moon and half moon together, full moon. No? Mahaprabhu's Radha Krishna combined in a certain way, as we were explaining. Angadhar Pandit is born on Amavasya, which means no moon. He's making a very deep theological point with that. Radha and Krishna, half moon put together, full moon. But for Mahaprabhu to be the full moon of Krishna experiencing Radha Bhav, Sri Radha has to empty her heart fully. So Mahaprabhu becomes successful in his mission and can shine like the golden moon that he is. Gadadhar Pandit appears with no moon. Not only in total darkness, but in the hottest month of the year, Srila Siddha Maharaj will say. He appears and he disappears. Interestingly, as we celebrated last week, the disappearance of Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also disappears on Amavasya. And also disappears in this similar month period that is the hottest season in India. So implying poetically darkness and heat, entering a certain fire of dedication and emptying herself, himself, entering to the darkness, into the hidden place where basically goes unnoticed as an unnoticed figure. And again, I'm giving you a trailer of the hikes of Gadadhar Tattva. Because again, look at casually, Gadadhar seems like a very forgotten figure hidden in the darkness. But if you have the eyes to see indirectly, you realize, oh, the role of Gadadhar Pandit is even more important than Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is bathing in the glory of relishing Radha Bhava, and we are like, Jai Gaur Hari Ki Jai. And probably everyone forgot about Gadadhar Pandit. But if you look properly, like, oh, that's the most glorious figure of poor Lila, allowing everything else to be happening. If you have the eyes to see, you already see all that from the very beginning, Gadadhar Pandit's birth in Amavasya. I could put the Saptaha to rest here and we can just say nothing else because everything is there. But we will say something else, trying to unpack the implications of Amavasya. So Gadadhar Pandit was born on that day, and he was born in the same year as Mahaprabhu was born, 1486, but a few months later than Mahaprabhu. So they are basically the same age with a few months difference. Gadadhar Pandit's father, biological father in the Leela, is called Madhav Mishra, and his mom, not his mother, his mom, is called Ratnavati Devi. Madhav Mishra was a Brahmin from one line called Kashyap Gotra. So Gadadhar Pandit was born as a Brahmin. It's a Pandit, Brahmin, and Vaishnav from birth. He had a younger brother called Baninath, also Baninath Mishra, who was the one who eventually manifested the first deities of Gaur Gadadhar, that you can still have darshan in Champahati in Navadvip. Last year we went with, you were there? Yes, Svetadvipa, Mandavikram, Manjwali, Gorcharan, Tapanandini, Radhapriya. After our Navadvip Parikram, we had a few days, we went to Champahati to have darshan of huge Gaur Gadadhar with open eyes and like arms like this, very ecstatic. So anyhow, the whole family stayed in this village called Beleti till Gadadhar was approx 12 years old, and then they moved to Navadvip. Because, as you may know, Navadvip was known as a very prestigious site for learning, very well known for its education. So Gadadhar, again, being born a Brahmin, having Vaishnava qualities, Pandit-like qualities, Navadvip was at that time very famous, one of the most famous cities throughout India for getting your education. It was the Oxford, Harvard of the time in the area, so to say, right? So they arrived there, no, specifically where Mayapur is situated. No, where Mayapur is, that's where they stayed. Nowadays, you can go even to Mayapur, and there's a place called next to Srivasangam called Gadadhar Angam, which kind of marks the place where Gadadhar Pandit will live there. And Gadadhar's mother, Ratnavati Devi, had a very close, friendly relationship with Mahaprabhu's mother, Nimai Pandit's mother, Sachi Mata. So they were kind of like two families, but one family. They were very close to one another since the very first moment. So again, Gadadhar was friends with Mahaprabhu, how to say in English, classmates. So they were classmates. And the two were pandits, right? Nimai Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit. The two were beautiful, genius-like. That's a question. Sorry,
Another name as a boy.
I. You're asking or you're telling? Trying to recall. It's not coming, huh? Not coming. We can do some research, but I don't think I ever heard that he had another name. I think he was named, no, Gadadhar. We'll be explaining eventually how can the meaning of Gadadhar relate to Gadadhar. Because Gadadhar is the name of Vishnu, he who holds the mace. So how can we connect that with Gadadhar's man? We'll come in a few days. Sorry, two, three more days without sleep. Sorry, Anurag, what to do? So they were classmates, they were friends, they were pandits, they share many similar qualities, but also they had some similar different qualities. In one sense, in the context of the Leela, for example, Gadadhar was a very deep Vaishnav, and Nimai was a non-devotee. No? In the unfolding of the Leela, of course, he was playing his Pandit Leela with different purposes to show, among other things, that he was a genius in knowledge, and at one point he left all that knowledge to embrace Raja Vidya. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. The king of knowledge is Bhakti. But also some other difference in their nature was that Nimai was very extroverted, as we will see. And very mischievous as a child, even like Krishna was. There are some parallels in the story. While Gadadhar Pandit was very introverted, very shy, very modest, very simple. Here's another hint about Gadadhar Pandit's Radha's mood in Gaur Lila. Because in Krishna Lila, Sri Radha is more, as we mentioned, more of a Bhamya Bhav type. Many times her mood will be contrariness to give pleasure to Krishna, not out of like self-centered arrogance or anything. But she knows this will be Krishna's. So, but in this particular Leela, again, as we said yesterday, Bhagavan is in a particular mission, no mission to accomplish. So Sri Radha will adjust her mood in an anukul, favorable way to facilitate her beloved's experience. So Krishna wants to take her mood, so Gadadhar will take a mood that, as we'll see, resembles her emptying her heart to give the gift to Mahaprabhu. So Gadadhar Pandit will be more Dakshin Bhav in general, more like quiet, shy, timid. So again, at this point of the Leela, Mahaprabhu hadn't become a Vaishnav. I mean, he was a non-devotee, which makes sense because, of course, everyone is a devotee of Krishna, and he's Krishna. So he's not a devotee of Krishna. He's Krishna. He's a devotee in Krishna Leela. He's a devotee, but not of Krishna. He's a devotee of his devotees. That's a unique definition that Sukadeva Goswami gives in the Bhagavatam on Bhagavan. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhakti Mam, he says. Bhagavan is the bhakta of his bhaktas. That's one line in the Bhagavata. Because generally we think Bhagavan, full Aishwarya, all these opulences and all this, like, ooh, there comes Bhagavan. Sukadeva Goswami brings it to the essence of all Aishwarya is he's the devotee of his devotees. No? That's the real majesty, the real opulence, the real quality, the real richness, the real renunciation and power and this and this and that. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktima. Aham Bhakta Paradinas, we say yesterday, Bhagavan himself, Vishnu, is saying to Durvasa Muni, I'm the devotee of my devotees. What to speak of Krishna? So in Mahaprabhu, in Gaur Lila, Bhagavan wants to be a devotee of Krishna, wants to be the experience what the greatest devotee of Krishna should rather taste. So it's a slightly different need to be fulfilled in the Lila. So far in the Lila, Nimai is a pandit. He's obsessed with knowledge, with logic, with Sanskrit grammar. He's like swimming in the ocean of,
Vidya Vilas.
yeah, Vidya Vilas. He's relishing the waves of the pastime, the divine play of knowledge, being a genius. He was an extraordinary genius. That other pandit was a genius in himself, but in a different way, from different moment. He was a Vaishnava. That other pandit also was brahmachari his whole life. It is said that his so to say indifference to the world of sense pleasure was such that once Ishvara Puri, before he became Mahaprabhu's guru, he went to Navadvip and he met with Gadadhar Pandit and he became very impressed with Gadadhar Pandit and they discussed Ishvara Puri had written a book called Krishna Lilamrita. He was discussing that with Gadadhar Pandit. And that's a hint of something else that will come later. Connection between Gadadhar Pandit, Ishvara Puri, and then Ishvara Puri becoming Mahaprabhu's Diksha Guru. So again, Nimai was a genius, but also he was, as we say yesterday, like, how do you say in English, like a harasser. Well, like he will roam in the streets of Navadvip looking home to like capture and start like invite to debate and start like to demolish them with his logic and knowledge. So there's no single pandit in Navadvip who was not terrified about Nimai Pandit, basically. Because most of these pandits also were Vaishnavas. So they were pandits, but they knew, okay, the use of knowledge is in converges in bhakti. But Nimai was just about knowledge. At least till that period to make a lesson as well. And he will, like, as you may have heard, he will present an argument and invite the other person to bring their counter argument, Purva Paksha. And they brought something, Nimai will defeat that in 10 seconds, bring the other counter argument. They couldn't bring any other counter argument. Nimai will bring his own counter argument to his own argument. And everyone was like, wow. And then he will defeat that one and back and forth, like, just again, Vidya Vilas. Like take knowledge like a puppet doll and stretch it like this, like that. No. So all these great pandits in that were also Vaishnavas, like Srivas Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, or Mukunda. They were enchanted by Nimai because I mean you can imagine very attractive person in so many ways, but they were kind of scared up from him. Whenever they saw him coming, they would like cross the street to the other side and look to the other direction, like if I'm not seeing that guy. But mostly in the sense of we don't want to lose our time with these useless debates. Now that was made basically Tarko Apratishtana. No, when you get entangled too much into just the from the neck up and you don't do the pilgrimage from the head to the heart, the sacred 20-centimeter pilgrimage. It can be dangerous just staying here. So all these bhaktas were like, we don't want to lose our time in this. But Nimai was manifesting his character as a harasser, right? Like a genius, but very intense genius. And Gadadhar Pandit was basically the opposite of that mood. He was very shy, but Gadadhar was classmates with Nimai. They were friends, and he had some attraction to Nimai. And Nimai had a deep fondness toward Gadadhar. You may wonder why. Of course, they are Radha and Krishna, divine couple, and falling in this unique Leela in the context of both being pandits. But again, Gadadhar in his Dakshina Bhav, in his mildness, couldn't like confront Nimai when the debate was the time for intense debate. So, and Nimai will kind of like want to relish some friction there, so trying like to poke, like I don't know, Krishna in Dwarka Leela will poke Rukmini, trying to extract some, Bhamya Bhav, like saying, "Oh, Rukmini, you love me so much, but I don't think I'm that good of a guy for you." And his Krishna starts to bring the list of his own faults and say, "Probably you should look for someone else." Right? And he was joking with Rukmini, but trying like to bring some contrariness. But Rukmini was so much in Dakshin Bhav, in this like submissive mode, that she was like fanning Krishna when he was saying that at one point. It's like, faint. It was too much for her. She couldn't get the pokiness. And that's why sometimes we will see Gadadhar is compared to Rukmini. Not because literally it's Rukmini, but because of the mood, that sometimes of submissiveness. So I'd like to share with you a section from Chaitanya Bhagavat that describes one of these meetings between Nimai and Gadadhar in the midst of, yesterday we briefly mentioned, but it's very beautifully how Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions that, when Mahaprabhu, Nimai will meet him and say, "I want to know the meaning of mukti from you." So Chaitanya Bhagavat says like this, roaming in this way, absorbed in the relishment of knowledge, Nimai saw Gadadhar. Smiling, Nimai caught hold of both his hands and stopped him. Oh. Stopped him because he knew Gadadhar wants to run away. "Come here, where are you going?" He said, "Nimai, you study logic, teach me." Right? We both study logic, but Nimai is telling Gadadhar, "We are classmates, so he knows. You study logic, Nyaya, teach me." Gadadhar replied, he was trapped, so he couldn't run. It's okay, inquire, he says. Okay, inquire, make your question. And Prabhu said, "No, Nimai, consider and state the characteristics of mukti." Liberation. So Gadadhar accordingly explained the meanings of Shastra regarding the characteristics of mukti. But Nimai said, "You do not know how to explain this." Gadadhar reply, "Atyantika dukkha nibriti." Like official definition of mukti, absolute termination of suffering. This the Shastra says is the observable characteristic of mukti. Prabhu, again Nimai, being the master of Saraswati, the goddess of learning, faulted this in various ways. He started, "Because of this, this is not correct. Because of this is wrong, this is not correct." There was no such logician who could establish anything in a debate with him. Anything. Any point you want to make, he will find. There was no one who will even speak with him. Thus, Gadadhar thought, "I will leave if I flee." Like, if I just run away, I will survive. That's the only way to. Prabhu playfully said, "Gadadhar, go home today. I give you 24 hours to find a better definition of mukti," which may sound like a threat, basically, right? "I give you 24 hours to pay the debt or something. I give you 24 hours to find a better definition of mukti." Gadadhar offered respects and went to his home. Nimai then continued roaming about everywhere from village to village. So this is one of the many daily encounters, which somehow again you can find parallels to, I don't know, Krishna teasing Radha. They're coming with the gopis, bringing butter, and he brings the tax, the toll collecting Leela, and harassing them and finding excuses. So there are many parallels here. So if we say yesterday, Gadadhar was bullied by Nimai, but in a way that at the same time increased their love for each other. And Gadadhar would just think, "This Nimai is so brilliant. He's such an incredible person. And I'm very much attracted to this friend of mine, but he has this one lacking. He's a non-devotee. So, what would be if someone as extraordinary as him will become a Vaishnava? What will happen to the world? There will be even ripples in the mountains of Switzerland if this Nimai becomes a Vaishnava. And at one point, 500 years after, there will be a Gadadhar Saptaha talking about.
My question is Lord Chaitanya so in yoga maya that he doesn't know it's Radha in this moment?
In Gaur Lila, they will mostly use expression Prada Maya, which is kind of the version, Yoga Maya's version in Gaur Lila. So we can use that expression, yes, for sure. They are absorbed in Lila, so they lose sight of, as we explained, I think yesterday you hadn't come yet, but sometime, I mean, it's not that that knowledge is not present anywhere, but it's buried under so many layers of intimacy and sweetness and what's taking place in the Lila. So, yeah.
I can even say there's also a kind of Purvarag. You know, they know each other since small children. They were like together, slowly, slowly growing. And when the taste is more sweet, when there is a little, different path. This is like a kind of Purvarag in Gwalior.
Thank you. So anyhow, Godada was thinking again, what would happen if Nimai will become a Vaishnava? So, as we say yesterday in the evening, it came the moment for intercessory prayer. Gadadhar starts to pray, may Nimai become a Vaishnava. May Nimai become a Vaishnava. As we know already, Nimai not only Mahaprabhu depended on Gadadhar to relish Radha Bhava, to experience the highest form of Vaishnava is impossible to become the topmost Vaishnavi. He depended on Gadadhar, but he depended on Gadadhar to become a Vaishnava to begin with, right? To leave his Pandit Lila and start his Vaishnava Lila. Gadadhar's prayers, Radha's prayers, are which bless Krishna to what it means to be a devotee to begin. I mean, never a beginner, as we will see very quickly, but from there all the way through to becoming Radha, so to say, in terms of experience, that Mahaprabhu, Krishna Chaitanya is depending on Gadadhar and Radha for those blessings. That's why one of the main mudras, as we'll see, many deities of Gadadhar is like this, which is like giving his whole self so Mahaprabhu can become a devotee. So, and it says that only after these prayers of Gadadhar Pandit is that Mahaprabhu becomes a Vaishnava and receives Diksha from Ishwar Puri, after which comes this huge transformation. And then comes the connection that we made before between Ishwar Puri, Gadadhar, and Mahaprabhu. Because we could say that Mahaprabhu starts in the Lila on earth, starts to experience Radha Bhava gradually, no? If the whole thing becomes more and more intense as the Lila unfolds. But the official symptoms of that experience come after he's receiving Diksha from Ishwar Puri. But again, all this happened only after Gadadhar Pandit's prayers. But also we could say this happened because Ishwar Puri had the association of Gadadhar Pandit. So Ishwar Puri went to Navadvip, as we say before, had Sangha with Gadadhar Pandit, received Gadai samskars. Right, so we will say by the association with Gadadhar Pandit, Ishwar Puri became blessed to become the guru of Mahaprabhu. Follow my point? By the association with Gadadhar, Ishwar Puri received certain sangha, certain blessings to then connect with Mahaprabhu as his guru. And then Mahaprabhu, we could say, he was blessed to receive Radha Bhava samskars from Ishwara Puri, who received them from Radha's Gadadhar Pandit. Right? It all goes back to Gadadhar Pandit, who is Radha and Gaur Lila, giving samskars in his association to Ishwara Puri, and then Ishwara Puri is transmitting that to Mahaprabhu.
It's again just it's not a pipe, like Looks like the Kazakhstan too. Initiate or an association on Ishwaku, but
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that he's
yeah.
it's always mutual, but yeah, externally it may sound like okay, Gadara is the junior and taking the association, but in one sense we'll say Gadara is Shri Radha, who is giving that unique Sangha Dosam scars to Ishwara Puri. And no wonder Mahaprabhu ends up accepting initiation from such a person. So then Mahaprabhu receives any diksha from Ishwara Puri. He returns from Gaya, completely transformed. No, so being Nimai Pandit, now Nimai Pandit doesn't want anything to do with having a Sanskrit school and teaching grammar. Whenever he starts to teach grammar, it's all in connection to Krishna, all the words Vasudeva, Sarvam, Iti, no, all everything goes back to Krishna. It's like a very maddened Sanskrit class, right? Like you go to school to learn something proper and the teacher has gone mad and explains everything in connection to Krishna. And everyone's like, we came for Sanskrit proper, and we cannot deny this is a unique Sanskrit class, but it's just something. And at one point, Mahaprabhu said, I cannot teach anymore. This is too much.
Close the books.
Yeah, close the books and open your heart. Right. So Mahaprabhu immediately, again, this is the power of the mercy of Gadadhar coming through Ishwara Puri. Mahaprabhu became the volcano of divine love that he became very quickly after receiving Diksha, starting to exhibit these ecstatic symptoms that were unseen, unheard of ever before. So it is said that Gadadhar was the first one to witness those symptoms, and then he very quickly started to spread the news in the community. Nimai has become a Vaishnav. Niman has become a Vaishnav. Right? Finally, all the whole of Navadvip was not only Gadadhar was praying; they were praying for May Nimai become a Vaishnav. So now, the dream has become true, and Gadadhar, the main figure leading the intercessory prayer chain, is the first one witnessing that and now spreading the gospel, the good news to the people of Navadvip. So everyone was delighted. Nimai became a Vaishnava. Wow, what will happen now? So now, remember, this is Gada, this is Radha. Radha knowing for a moment, we could say Radha getting to know, okay, now the real thing starts to happen. The whole purpose of Gaur Lila, what's this whole purpose of Gaur Lila? Krishna is trying to relish this Radha. Okay, now with Diksha in play, okay, this is, okay, brace yourselves, guys, fasten your seatbelts. Now we are getting somewhere. So it is said that the first official moment that we know when Mahaprabhu revealed his identity as a Bhakta was at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari. And there he invited his all the Navadvip Basis and his friends to go to the house of Suklambar Brahmachari. And Gadadhar Pandit was, of course, there as well. And Mahaprabhu started to express his heart, his newly bloomed devotional heart with profuse tears and all the emotions possible and impossible. I try to imagine, no, the person that the day before was just like a very dry-headed logician and an erudite, now he's like melting and crying and in a state that nobody could understand what has taken place here. And Mahaprabhu started to sing Srinam and to lead kirtan, and everyone was like carried by that emotional tsunami, so to say. And at one point, Gadadhar collapses to Mahaprabhu collapses to the ground in kirtan, which start to become the standard eventually in kirtan. In ecstasy, he collapsed, and everyone was like, "What's going on here?" And in the context of that, they hear someone crying very intensely, and they were like, "Who is crying?" And they see Gadadhar like hiding behind a pillar at Suklambar Brahmachari's house, like crying intensely. No. And nobody could figure out, is he crying out of joy? Is he crying out of sadness? And the answer, well, could be both. No, because in one sense he's crying out of joy. No. Nimai became a Vaishnav, right? The prayers have been heard. Gaur Lila's main purpose is becoming more and more successful. No, rather celebrating. My prana is starting to relish my bhav, my heart. There's so many reasons to celebrate. But at the same time, paradoxical sadness or concern, because Radha is thinking, what will my prem do to him?
Even now, already he fell down. Like Shila Trina Kodai, see, when Krishna is just stepping on a little stone, Radhika feels it 1,000 times. Now, but even that time, Gadadhar feels it.
That means now Gadadhar has realized that she's Radha because she has that worry about the prince.
These flashes are coming in the context of the Leela. Okay. And again, it's all like we said yesterday, even when in Vrindavan they have some awareness for a moment that Krishna, it's all in the way that is nourishing favorably the required bhav. It's not something that becomes like a how to say, like a disturbance or like a disruption. So, and again, we know that this is why there are many ways to explain this, but why Mahaprabhu is coming Radha Bhava duty. No, he's coming Radha Bhava to relish internally the mood of Radha, but he's been externally,
So valid.
enveloped by Radha's own luster, because it is said that when Radha, again, like some acharyas will explain, like, you know, it may sound like in the context of a timeline, oh, Krishna wants to taste this. And Radha says, well, if I give you my bhav, my heart, you don't know what you are asking for. You don't know the intensity of what I feel for you. You will be rolling on the ground, hitting your head on the walls, crying, and I cannot, as you say, I can't even bear the thought of the possibility of your tender lotus foot soles being touched with one pebble when you go every day with the cows and your friends. What to speak of the idea of you falling and collapsing on a daily basis and hitting your head on the walls and bleeding, like happened with Mahaprabhu in Gambira. He will like hit in separation. So rather say, the only way I can somehow bear this is my me covering you externally with my own luster and somehow me trying to receive all those things. Also, Radha Bhava duty, internally and externally, or rather Abesh, no, and Besh. No? Abesh means internal absorption, and Besh means like clothing, no? Like externally. Mahaprabhu is clothed by Radha's halo. No? She's kind of embracing Krishna, like, I will receive the, no, the collapse, not you. I cannot bear that it will be. That's the only condition in the contract, so to say, rather safe. Okay, we'll go into this adventure together, but I'll receive the, not you. That will be too much. So that's why Gadadhar Pandit was crying profusely. And then eventually Mahaprabhu recovers from his ecstasy and fainting and goes to Gadadhar Pandit. I say, oh Gadadhar, you are so fortunate. You have been a Vaishnava your whole life. You always wanted the best for me. Since your very childhood, your mind was fixed in Krishna. But me, I've lost so much time. He crying, saying all that, not realizing I've lost so much time with this logic and knowledge and this and that. But you are so fortunate. I've lost so much big part of my valuable human form of life. I was so repenting in a healthy way. Mahaprabhu was crying to Gadadhar Pandit. So from this moment on, Mahaprabhu Nimai becomes basically a madman, a devotional madman. And that augments on a daily basis, more and more concerning for someone like Sachi, for example. Imagine for a mom, your son becomes mad. In love of God, but mad. No, so it is said that again on a daily basis, Mahaprabhu was affected by different forms of ecstasy that were unpredictable, and for such it was like very concerning. Like my son before that was a normal person, teaching, having a job, and now he's crying all day, fainting, collapsing, running, laughing, this and that. I don't know what to do. So it is said that this famous Leela, one day Mahaprabhu is again starting to culture Radha Bhav, mainly in separation. We were mentioning that the main project of cult experiencing Radha Bhava is in separation. That's the entry point. Like Suchan was mentioning Purva Rag, it's the beginning of union in separation. And Mahaprabhu is saying, where is Krishna? He start to ask, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? In a very,
Pathetic.
sorry,
Pathetic.
pathetic way, desperate way. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? No, not like from a technical place, like in a class. Where is Krishna? Like, give me the answer. He's really, where is Krishna? And sometimes we may ask the same question, but each one from a different place. Sometimes we may think Krishna is too far. And this is part of what Gadadhar will say, interestingly. Sometimes we think, where is Krishna? We look like, and he's so close that we lost sight of him. That's sometimes the idea. No? Like the Upanishads say, Bhagavan is the closest and the farthest. You choose where to locate him in your relationship. If you want, you can throw Bhagavan just to transcend as far away, distant land, distant time. Or you can realize he's closer, in the same, the Sufi tradition, closer to your jugular vein. He's so close that you lost sight of him. It's too close, too intimate. So anyhow, Mahaprabhu is asking, where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit say, where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit points, he's in your heart. Which is, it's true. I mean, we could make the general point that God is in everyone's heart, but in a more specific way, Mahaprabhu is Krishna in Radha Bhav, looking for Krishna. So Krishna must be in that heart. So Mahaprabhu took that advice in a very literal way. Many times we criticize reading scripture just literally. And you have to be more nuanced in your understanding. But also there is a place like Saint Francis, we were talking in Laverna, right? When he heard this voice, fix my church. He took it literally. But from a place of love, we wouldn't criticize that literalism. Then he realized, oh, there's more here. So in this way, Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar tells Mahaprabhu, Krishna is in your heart. Mahaprabhu's like, oh. He starts to tear apart, try to turn apart, tear apart, yeah. Tear apart his chest and literally open his chest and can't go to his heart and find Krishna there. Like showing, okay, that's the type of longing you have to have in your search for it. Absolutely. This is what it takes to tear apart my chest. Okay. That's not much of a high price to meet my beloved. No? And Sachi is witnessing that. I mean, she's already concerned. My son is going crazy asking where is Krishna, and now he's trying to tear apart his chest to actually find him. So, and then Gadadhar Pandit, in a very expert way, pacifies him. Like, no, not in that sense. Don't be so literal. And starts to pacify Krishna, Mahaprabhu, in a very expert way. So Sachi is witnessing that and realizing this. This boy Gadadhar is a very necessary companion for my Nimai. I mean, he has and she gives this instruction to Gadadhar, which is you never leave my Nimai. You never leave him. Don't ever leave him alone. So in one sense, it could sound like okay, Sach is asking that to, so Nimai is protected from himself. So it's more like a motherly concern for the health of his child, but in a deeper way is of course a perfect arrangement done by Yashoda herself as Sachi, putting Radha and Krishna together 24/7. And nobody can say anything or Lila, because the mood is in such a way that nobody will object to that, as they would in Krishna Lila. No?
It's like in Vrindavan when Mother Yashoda asks Srimati Radhika to come every day to cook in Nandagon. She doesn't know how confidential she brings Radha and Krishna into yoga pit and to bring them together there. But this is like that even Vatsalya Rasa is a Rasa Upakar is a very big inspiration for Madhurya Rasa. In the same way, also Sachi Devi She was really instrumental in something extremely mystical, even without understanding all that.
Yeah, implications, so to say. Yeah. So anyhow, in this way, what starts to happen from that moment on, now with the blessings of Sachi Ma, so if Ma has pronounced the order, nobody in the village can argue against that. So now we have in the Navadvip Lila, Sri Radha as Gadadhar is protecting her Prananath Krishna. Also, again, Sri Radha is concerned. She knows what will my Bhava do to him. She is concerned. She know she has reasons to be concerned. Now comes the perfect arrangement for Radha to tend to Krishna in that particular way. And also we could say, going back to the Krishna Lila, no, Yashoda is Krishna's mom, but her secret longing is may Krishna marry with Radha. Like she, her, I mean, it cannot happen in one sense because of the dynamics of the Lila in one sense, but she in her heart of hearts is like they are made for each other. This is a match made in heaven. I mean, they are in the heaven beyond heaven, but in she thinks like these two are made for one another. So secretly she harbors that, oh, may someday my Kanhaiyalal marry with Sri Radha. So in this way, somehow in Gaur Lila, she's somehow in some way creating this union, bringing the two of them together 24/7 without interruption. And that's how it happened. They became basically inseparable. There's a few things in connection to this beautiful Lila. Also, there's one song by Narottam Das Thakur in Prarthana, where Radha is presented as praying for a male body. Because sometimes she's suffering in the dynamics of Krishna Lila. I cannot be with Krishna 24/7 in the open in front of everybody. It's not possible. So she starts to pray, may I get a male body so I can be with Krishna all day without fear of the elders, of society's criticism. And this is what's facilitated in Gaur Lila. So, in one sense, many reasons why we can say Gaur Lila is allowing so many things that were not possible in Krishna Lila.
Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, is prayers like some prayers who Shukadev Goswami externally glorifies Sakya Ras, Idam Satam Brahma Sukhana Bhuta, but actually this is Srimati Radhika praying when she sees Krishna going in the forest every morning. And now the Sakhas, they embrace Krishna and and now they go together to the forest.
All
And
day.
Radhika behind the tree looking how he's going, and they hold him. And then she said, Shukadev Goswami feels so much with Radhika at that time. I said, Sakra Vijrahu Krita Punya Punja. How many lifetimes have these Sakhas made austerities to get such a position? So that's actually Srimati Radhika is praying,
What?
I'm ready many,
Yeah.
many lifetimes to do austerity to become a Sakha. But now in Gaur Lila, there are Sakhas.
Yeah. And even we can connect that with the Subal Besh Milan, right? In Krishna Lila, where you know this beautiful Lila where Sri Radha is dressing as Subal and Subal is dressing as Radha. And she has the chance of leaving her home dressed as Subal, as a Sakha. And with being with Krishna, nobody's saying anything. So that was like a trailer for her, like, Right. So again, now in Gaur Lila, they are together. So there are different ways that we can explain this same one Lila of why Sachi is putting them together, and all the angles are true. Okay, it's not like so. Which of all the things that you are talking now about this pyre, which is the bona fide one? All of them. Like someone asked once, we will get there eventually, but. There are a few theories about how Mahaprabhu closed his pastimes on earth. Someone asked Lesley Marsh, which one of those three or four main theories is the actual one? I say all of them. Like when Krishna Mala Namas and Ninam Naravaram, when Krishna is entering the arena of Kamsa, and everyone is seeing him differently. And all of them they are valid ways of approaching. So anyhow, there's a deep intimacy between Gadadhar and Nimai from this moment, inseparable. In the first biography, hagiography of Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charit Mahakavya, written by Murari Guptas, who said yesterday, written by Hanuman. Hanuman gave us the first biography of Gaur. He describes the intimacy between Gadadhar and Mahaprabhu, and even comparing it to how Radha is tending to Krishna in Vrindavan. Of course, knowing there is a different mood, but making that parallel. Gadadhar decorating Mahaprabhu with garlands, with sandalwood paste, preparing Mahaprabhu's bed, sleeping in the room, not in the same bed, but sleeping close to him. I say, again, inseparable friends, which is sometimes even to say that Gadadhar and Mahaprabhu were close friends is like an understatement. Let's put it that way. Well, if we don't have like a very super deep experience of what it means to have a friend, we may just close friends may be enough for us. But when we speak about Gaur Gadadhar, it's like close friends is just like understatement minimum. No? According again to the biographer, they were practically inseparable. We can think about this sort of friendship as something we don't see in this world, basically, or very rarely. Like such a deep friendship, like pure friendship. So anyhow, in this way, Gadadhar Pandit accompanied Mahaprabhu everywhere, and that means in all these main leelas, Sankirtan Leela, water pastimes, eating pastimes, when they made the theatrical drama, the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, the Mahaprakash Leela of Mahaprabhu in Srivasangam, when Kasi was converted, and even when Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, we will get there when we go to Puri Leela. But Gadadhar was one of the few people that Mahaprabhu went to consult about this crazy idea of becoming a sannyasi, right? There has to be some madness to do that. So, anyhow. So, and then of course, he was with Mahaprabhu in his leelas in Puri till certain point that some distance happened, but we'll be talking about that when we get to the Puri section. Today we are talking about some of Gadadhar Pandit's leelas in Navadvip. And I like to conclude with one more leela, famous one of Gadadhar in Nadia, which is his initiation with Pundarik Vidyanidhi, going back to the pipe. So it is said that on one occasion Mahaprabhu in Navadvip started to shout. Again, he will come with something out of the blue. I mean, he's the blue, so he can bring things out of the blue. Now he's the golden one, but Antar Krishna Mahir Gauran. So he starts to call Bhav Pundarik, Bhav Pundarik, Bhav Pundarik, which means father, father Pundarik, father Pundarik. And everyone's like, oh, first of all, who are you calling? Your father is Jagannath Mishra, and you're calling someone Pundarik. Who is this Pundarik? Nobody knew who was this Pundarik because Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he lived in Chittagong, which is the same place from which Gadadhar Pandit is from, interestingly. He will cry, not only call, like actually Pundarik, Bhav Pundarik, but just crying, Bhav Pundarik, Bhav Pundarik. And who is Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Just to give the trailer, he's Vrishabhanu Maharaj appearing in Gaur Leela. So Mahaprabhu was in Radha Bhav. So Radha Bhav means he was tasting Radha's heart, calling her father, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, in Gaur Leela, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. But again, most of his associates didn't understand who are you calling, why you are crying, why you're calling him father, and who is this Pundarik? So it was a little mysterious. No? And even when, as we know, as we will see, Pundarik Vidyanidhi came, it became all the more complicated to understand. So anyhow, Mahaprabhu and Radha Bhav is calling Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Bhav Pundarik, Bhav Pundarik. So the devotee says, who is this Pundarik? He said, oh, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He's no Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Eventually, Mahaprabhu rebaptized him Premanidhi. No? Like making this poem, Vidyanidhi means an ocean of knowledge, Vidyanidhi. And he called him Premanidhi to mean Prem is the actual Vidya. No? Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitramidamottamam. So he said, oh, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he's a great Vaishnava, topmost Uttam Bhagavat. He's coming to Navadvip very soon. I can feel it. He's getting closer. No? Because Pundarik didn't, he will live in Chittagong, but he was from a wealthy background. He had a house in Navadvip, and he will come for Ganga Darshan. Where he was living, Ganga was no longer flowing. So he will go for Ganga Darshan. He will make the whole trip and sit with Ganga, take a few drops, put them in his head, and fall into ecstasy for 6, 7 hours. That was his Ganga Puja, basically. We go, we bathe, we swim, we do how many things in the Ganga. That's it. With a few drops, gone. Then he will walk by back to Chittagong, to Ganga Maya. So anyhow, eventually, Pundarik Bidyanidhi arrives to Navadvip, but he arrives in a hidden way. Not like he's dressing himself as a Vaishnav. He appears, he's a great Vaishnav, but he camouflages himself as a Vaishnav. You understand what Vaishnav? Like a sense enjoyer, like a very mundane person. So nobody can recognize him. Sometimes we hear some great Vaishnavas doing unexpected things, you know, like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji doing chanting in a public bathroom or things like that. So nobody bothers him in his bhajan, because if he's in any other place, they will come, "Oh, Babaji, Kijai, Kijai." I'll go to public bathroom. So I'm at peace there. So Pundarik Bidyanidhi enters Navadvip like masked in so many ways, no? Externally dressing as a sense enjoyer and so on. So nobody could recognize him, almost nobody. And that was a way for him to try also to hide the wealth of his heart. No? Again, our teachers will say, do not make a cheap display of the wealth of your heart. That's saying, do you have to keep that hidden? Gopayet Guru Radmana, Gopayet Dibhatamishtam, Gopayet Chaniyamantram, Gopayet Nijamalikam. Sanatana Goswami quotes this verse from Gautamiya Tantra in Haribhakti Vilas. Hide your guru, hide your Ishtadev, hide your Malika, hide your mantra. In other words, again, don't take it literally, and your guru comes and you lock him, her up in a room. I'm following Sanatana Goswami, hiding it. But keep all those things confidential. It's not like a cheap display of stuff, no? So anyhow, he arrives, and Mukunda, one of the associates of Mahaprabhu, he also had resided in Chittagong, the place where Pundarik Bidyanidhi was from. So he knew who actually this Pundarik Bidyanidhi, who he was actually. He was a great Vaishnav. And he knew Gadadhar Pandit again. He's born a Vaishnav from birth, and he was always very fond of meeting new Vaishnavas, you know, and getting the association of sadhus. That's a symptom of a Vaishnav. No? Vaishnav loves to meet Vaishnavas. They nourish each other deeply. So Mukunda tells Gadadhar, there is a great Vaishnav who just arrived to Navadvip. You want to meet him? It's called Pundarik Bidyanidhi. And Gadadhar says, yes, let's go. Let's go. Okay, let's go. So Mukunda is bringing Gadadhar to the house of Pundarik Bidyanidhi, and then he's told, no? Like he's a Mahabhagavat, topmost devotee. So Gadadhar is building all this like in anticipation of meeting a great devotee. Mukunda knows who is a great devotee. Okay, and Gadadhar comes again with this background of Naishthika Brahmachari, very simple, very like detached. And finally they arrive. And Pundarik Bidyanidhi is sitting like on a like silk sofa with oily curly hair, and with someone putting a mirror on him, and he's monitoring his own beauty. He's smoking from a pipe. So there you have the pipe. But the pipe is not a pipe. This is not a pipe. Watch out. No, he's chewing tambul. And he has like, how is it in English? Spittoon? Like this place, look, you go. He'll be like sitting like that, smoking a pipe, spitting like with a mirror, like oily hair, people like fanning him, sitting like on a, not like a sofa extended And Mukunda tells Gadadhar, here is your Vaishnav. Right? So Gadadhar is okay. What to do with it? Right. He had heard Pundarik Pidyani is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, a very powerful background, but what looks on the surface is basically the exact opposite of what the Vaishnava is, like absolute self-centered, narcissistic,
Hedonistic.
hedonistic person. And it's like, so Mukunda is seeing, looking at Pundarik Vidyanidhi, but he can look, he's looking at Gadadhar, and he can see the doubt stamped in the house, in the face of Gadadhar Pandit. Like, what's going on here? Is this a bad joke or what? So then Mukunda, he was a singer, in Mahaprabhu's group, one of the main singers. So he said, okay, it's time to bring the real Pundarik Vidyanidhi to the surface. Oh, and again, it's a lesson for all of us. Sometimes let's be careful not to misjudge a Vaishnav on the externals. So Mukunda invokes one verse of the Bhagavatam that we shared yesterday also briefly with his own sweet, unique voice. We are not here trying to do it like him. It's not possible. But it's a beautiful verse from the third canto of the Bhagavatam, pronounced by Uddhava, glorifying Krishna's mercy. Aho bhakiyam shanakalakutam jignyansayapayadapyasadvi lebhe gatingatyuchitam tatonyam. So then, Srila Sri Maharaj said, then the bomb burst. Oh. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi hears that verse and he falls from the sofa. He starts to shout and cry and repeat this last line, especially Kim Bandayalum Shananam Braji. This is a verse from Uddhava saying, as we quoted yesterday, Uddhava saying, how can I surrender to someone more merciful than Krishna? Like implying there's nobody more merciful than Krishna. What's an example of that he gave to Putana, who approached him with murderous intentions? He gave her Vatsalya Prema. He gave the position of a mother to someone who wanted to kill him as a baby. I mean, imagine that will be in all the newspapers in Switzerland. Like woman came to a baby with poison on her breast, trying to fake she was like a nurse. I mean, it's like the most horrific thing you can imagine. And to that, to God on top of that. And how, which was the response to that? Yeah, Vatsalya Prem. So Uddhava is in shock, saying, how can there be anyone more merciful than this?
Is it non-proportional?
Yeah, absolutely disproportionate. Krishna's not good at math at all. So he quotes this verse. No, and Uddhava is thinking, again, in this verse, if this is the result approaching Krishna with murderous intention, what must be the result of approaching him with a loving heart? Like, very similar to Brahma's question to Krishna, like we said yesterday, if you gave this to Putana, how will you pay back to the Brajavasis? This is kind of a hint of that. No, there's an interesting verse connected to all this, and Napara Yaham Nirabhadi, no, so no one, and Gadadhar is involved in all that. But also, this is a very interesting teaching, because it's not that Mukunda quoted, like, I don't know, in one sense, the most esoteric verse from the Rasa Lila and Rasa, but he went to a verse from the third canto, not the 10th canto, not Braja Lila, not Rasa Panchadaya, third canto, speaking about Krishna's mercy, which I'm not saying is less, but the point is, he didn't need to go to the super most esoteric thing. Let's just talk about God's unconditional love and what's the result it has of a genuine appreciator of that. No? So Pundarik Vidyanidhi exploded and fell on the ground and started to repeat this last line, Kambanda Yalum Sharanam Brayem, how to surrender someone more merciful than Krishna, over and over again. And he started to shout, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna, and turn apart his clothes and all these like fancy clothes he had. Like he throw all those clothes and he started to take his locks out. Like that's how it's described. The pipe was no longer a pipe, was somewhere else, and everything just became madness. And he then fainted. And all different sattvic bhavs, stigmata, started to appear on his body. And he remained fainted, Chaitanya bhavat, say, for 6 hours. Just by hearing one verse from the third canto speaking about Krishna's unconditional love. So that in itself speaks a lot, no? Like sometimes we have to learn to appreciate deeply something that otherwise we may think, oh, that's introductory, that's not 10th canto, that's just about mercy. We will go to there eventually when we go to Puri, and how Mahaprabhu will hear from Gadadhar Pandit's Devat, and especially Prahlad Leela and Dhruva Leela, and say, again, 100 times, again. So anyhow, going back to Gadadhar Pandit, remember, he was thinking in his mind first, who is this Pundarik Vidyanidhi? He looks like a sense enjoyer, and now he's realizing, oh my gosh, he was such a Vaishnava. And in my mind, he didn't say anything, but in my mind, I have entertained some degree of doubt. So he felt, I made some apparat here. I offended a great personality. So what to do? How to counteract that? So he thought, maybe I will take initiation from him. And he eventually spoke with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, like a father is not taking seriously any offense from the children. The same way, if you become his disciple, and he makes an important point there. Mahaprabhu said, he will forgive anything because the guru always forgives the offense of the disciples. Which speaks, sometimes gurus are not so much forgiven. There's another conversation going on there. So anyhow, Gadadhar Pandit also brings this to Mukunda, who was, of course, instrumental in all this. He was the one who introduced himself to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And eventually Mukunda presents the case to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. No. Meanwhile, Gadadhar again was talking with Mahaprabhu. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was still fainted from the birth of the Bhagavatam. Remember, 6 hours. He was like, so Gadadhar was asking Mahaprabhu and others, like, what to do. So eventually, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi returns back to quote unquote normal consciousness, Mukunda says, he's Gadadhar Pandit. He has this and this qualification. He would like to become your disciple, receive mantra from you. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi, again, showing his full Vaishnav face, says, I will be blessed by having a disciple like that. He never say, yeah, I will bless you, I will be your guru. It's like, wow, he wants to be my disciple. That will be such a blessing for me to have. It's the great fortune of any guru to have a disciple like that. I think he said something like, after many lifetimes, a guru can get such a disciple. Something like that. So he said, yes, we can do that. We will wait for some auspicious day, and that will happen. So eventually, happy end to the story, Pundarik Vidyanidhi becomes the spiritual father of Gadadhar Pandit. And in one way, this goes back to Krishna Lila, because Pundarik Vidyanidhi is spiritual Bhanu Maharaj, and Gadadhar Pandit is Radha, father and daughter. So now in the Gaur Lila, they are becoming again father and son, in this case, confirmed. So this is a beautiful little, yes.
Okay, Mohan taught me something very beautiful for that, because when Sachimata already made this benediction, you have to stay always with him. So now Gaur Gadadhar, Krishna in the school of Radha Bhav, can be with his teacher, Radhika. So more close. But in Yavat, Krishna has very difficulty to meet Shrimati Radhika. But when Radhika is going like every 4 months, for 4 months in the rainy season to Varshana, it's much more easy That's by Gavarvan in Varshana, this beautiful, beautiful forest. They're very, very dear to the Vaishnav because Radha and Krishna can meet very freely there. It's much more easy. So Fakir Mohan said, why this Pundarik? Now it's like the atmosphere of Varshana because Bishop Bhanu Maharaj is now on the stage. So this means now there is much more.
Facility.
Yes, Gauranga Krishna, who wants to learn, meet with Srimati Radhika for Radha Bhav, meet with Gadadhar. Now is the atmosphere changed. Now it's like the atmosphere of Varshana. This is what Fakir Muhammad told me.
Thank you for that. Again, as we can see that the Leela is unfolding and everything is becoming more and more facilitating for the main purpose of Gaur Leela. And as we will see eventually, as the Leela continues to unfold in Puri, it takes newer and newer layers with Gadadhar calling Mahaprabhu on a daily basis, giving Bhagavad Katha and so on. But today I want to share some Leelas from the Navadvip portion before we go tomorrow, day after tomorrow, about getting a little bit more technical, if you will, analyzing Gadadhar's ontological position and services position, very crucial. It's already, hopefully, we hinted at through some of these Leelas in Navadvip. So I'm putting my sharing to rest, but I don't know if you have anything you would like to share or ask, mostly in connection to the topic. Of course, in the evenings, we're having Q&A more broadly in any direction, but maybe in the mornings we try to keep it focused on the topic we've shared.
Madhavi?
Yes.
Hello. When you were talking about this Mahaprakash Lila, I realized there it's not nowhere written that like he calls all his devotees and shows himself what's the relationship between them, but Gadadhar is not mentioned by name.
Yes. Why? No, I'm asking you. I asked first. I know you have some hint why that will be the case.
Real life.
Okay, that's a good point.
Secret.
Yeah. So Krishna Chandra will unlock the secret for us.
I just feel it's the way to study. Now we have a certain point of view. Oh, now we want to meditate on Gurganara. And now we meditate the Leela of even the Navadvip Leela, in Gadadhar's presence, and each and every Leela we know, Gadadhar is present there also. But it's not exactly mentioned, but it's like the point of meditation. It's surely there were also, I think Gadadhar is there because Mahaprabhu shows his own Swarup to each and every. When there is a devotee of Nrisingadev. He shows himself as Nrisingha. And it's not that all the others see it. It's like secret chambers. Like, I'm sure from that point of view, when we go through that meditation through whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, at that time, there is like a meeting of where he shows his Shyamasunda Swarup to Srimati Radhika. This is what I feel. I don't know what you.
Yeah, I appreciate the point that, of course, it's described as he's showing these different forms publicly, which he does, but in many ways there are certain perceptions that only this devotee with that particular bhav is having. And again, at the end of the day, if there is someone who knows why there is a Gaur Leela at all, is Gadadhar Pandit. So there's not much to disclose for or Mahaprabhu to another pandit, like, this is actually who I am. And Radha's like, I mean, I know, I mean, I'm allowing this to happen. I'm the facilitator here. So there's no need to show me anything, so to say, right?
Maybe the other way around.
Yes.
That
Sorry?
Gadadhar reveals himself to Gauranga. Where who she really is.
This is maybe another topic, because we know that in Krishna's heart is desires that suddenly made Brajlila to Navadvip Lila. It's like he's seeing that Srimati Radhika has so much more happiness, so much more love. And out of this love, when she sees him, she experience, because she has more love, she experienced much more beauty seeing Krishna. And also what Radhika experiences when she sees this beauty, she has a happiness that Krishna says, I don't know. So this is like one reason why Vraj suddenly turns to Navadvip. But also Radhika has so many desires that she cannot fulfill in Braj Leela. And now it's fulfilled in Gaur Leela in the form of Gadadhar. Like, you know, she, one of the desires is, I want to constantly be able to sing Krishna's name. This is very difficult in Vrindavan, because when she is in Yavat, she has to hide all the beautiful. And one desire, I want to see my Shyam Sundar, you know, with no obstacles. And then suddenly, maybe this Mahaprakash Leela is one of the desires of Gadadhar fulfilled. Now he has a darshan, uninhabited.
Anything else?
Yeah. Does Francisco.
Oh.
That mean everyone in Brajlila is present during Gaurlila?
They are not two different Leelas.
Because you don't have like all the names and all the levels.
We don't need to. I mean, I will say we hear almost, if you study like Gaur Ganadesh, Deepika, and all these books, you have like a very comprehensive attempt to create a parallel between all the main characters. Of course, I mean, we don't know who are all there. There's not like a limited number. These are all the participants. It's endless. So we can never hear them all, because there's not a limited number who are all here and are who are so. But yeah, just with the idea that we are talking actually about the same Leela, and it's extension, one Leela is extension of the other to reach certain experiences, by implication is, yeah, everyone is there in one way or another, adjusting their positions to save, to serve in that extension. Yeah. Francesca has something.
Didn't really get what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu learned from like
What do you mean?
what did he learn from Sundari Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
But why to limit it to one single thing?
Yes. You don't have to limit it to one single thing, but I didn't drop the message. No, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu learned from Kundalini. When they went for that first meeting? Yeah, generally? Yes.
No, in that first meeting, Mahaprabhu was not there.
Oh, okay, that's why I didn't got it. Okay.
Yeah,
Because
that was
you
Gadadhar and Mukunda.
was a bit confused because then you said then Gadadhar asked Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, that was
So
while
he.
Pundari was fainted for 6 hours. So he went there. It's all in the same town. You have time in 6 hours to go on, because it was an urgent concern. What to do now? I mean, this is like terrible. This great personality did this. I cannot wait. So he's going and yeah.
But I was also wondering, was that on purpose that he didn't go along? Because it was actually Mahaprabhu who first was calling the names of these Father Pundits. And I was wondering what was the reason, because you said he only, Gadadhar Pandit went with Mukunda.
Yeah.
So was there a reason why Mahaprabhu didn't go along?
Didn't join them?
Yeah.
I've never heard this.
Because calling the name, couldn't wait for him, then I was
Of course,
also.
they met eventually, but he was not there in that particular lila. We have to stay with the mystery. Yeah. Sometimes sitting with mysteries. Yeah. It's good to know that we will not know some things never. Something else? Okay, can put the sharing to rest. We can close with time. And tomorrow we'll continue with exploring the ontological position of Gadadhar, which in one sense we can say is Radha, but there's a lot to say in connection to that. So Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar Ki Jai, Gadadhar Pandit Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Vraja Dham Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand Hari Hari.